listening to the Wesley Seminary Podcast. Your host today is Dr. Aaron Perry, Associate Professor of Pastoral Theology and Leadership.
Today we're going to talk about the pastor's favorite part of their job. Not really. In fact, it's probably the least favorite part of many pastors' jobs. And yet it is vital. I have not talked with a single person in pastoral ministry or in lay leadership in the church who said, "I had to get involved in this work because I love to manage people." In fact, many of us have heard just the opposite. We've heard something that I think is a bit unfair, but I understand where it comes from. The phrase, "Ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people." But as we've been looking at through this set of episodes on lay leadership, the people are vital. The laity, which just means the people of the church, are the ones doing the ministry so that the good work of God can run wide and wild, but with good outcomes. Today's episode, we're going to talk about management. And just because that word can kind of feel like a swear word, I'm going to use the metaphor of tracking. We're going to talk about tracking and how that can be a vital component of the pastor's leadership. Stay tuned for a word from our sponsor, and then enjoy the podcast.
Wesley Seminary prepares Christian leaders to engage in missional ministry locally and globally through fully online Masters of Ministry, Masters of Divinity, and Doctor of Ministry programs. Learn from professors who will help you grow in your knowledge of Scripture, theology, and church history with the goal of applying what you learn from the local ministry. Journey with a spiritual formation cohort made up of students from around the world that take their own ministry experience and challenge you to sharpen your ministry skills and deepen your spiritual formation. Wherever you are, in whatever way you serve in ministry, we want to serve you. We are Wesley, and you belong here.
Krista was the fastest runner in our grade 3 class. Not at sprinting, but at medium distance races. She could outpace everybody. But there's one image that stands out to me in Krista's running career that so illustrates what we're going to talk about today. As with typical medium distance races, runners began in different lanes, and then after the first leg of the journey, they can move down to the center lane. Staggering the lanes like that makes it equal distance for everybody to run. But there was one problem. Krista never changed lanes. She just stayed in the third lane the whole time. And because of her speed and athletic ability, she was winning the race. Her coach was calling out to her, "Move in, move in." She never heard. She never heeded his words. Somebody called out, "She's still winning the race, coach." And he said, "But she's running so much further than everybody else." I think of that story when I think about pastors engaging in management or tracking. Management doesn't have to be complicated. It's making sure the resources are lining up with needs, opportunities. And it comes from a conviction that every person has the opportunity to grow. God does not have people in ministry so that they stagnate. God does not have people in ministry so that they stay the same. No. Ministry, as we talked about, is spiritual formation. Ministry training is spiritual formation. And we are meant to grow spiritually because we are growing in Christ. The capacity for our growth is unbeatable. We can all grow extensively in Christ. When we think about management, we have to keep it in that spiritual realm. We are tracking people. Now, there's a few ways we can stay with the tracking metaphor as we keep thinking about management. We track people to make sure they're being effective. Part of management is making sure that a person is being effective and doing an effective work. Nobody wants to be ineffective in what they're doing. They might not realize they're being ineffective, but everybody wants to be effective. They want to be making a difference. We track to make sure people are effective. We track to see if people have shifted lanes. Sometimes people change lanes in the middle of a race without people knowing. Somebody started out doing one role in a ministry, and then they kind of gradually morphed into another one. It just kind of happened, and you didn't know. They were still doing a good job. They had morphed because there was a need. They had changed lanes out of maybe necessity or opportunity or just because they saw the need, but you didn't know. We track to see if people have shifted lanes. We track to keep people in the ministry race. Runners need refreshment. People need to be refreshed and encouraged. We track to keep people in the ministry race. We don't want them to drop out prematurely. At the same time, we also track to make sure people can finish well. Alice was a person who showed up every single week. Every week. They went above and beyond. She loved the people that she ministered to, and she was a good teammate to the people she ministered with. If there was anybody that we thought had a problem, it was not Alice. Now, of course, Alice is a fictional name, but the story is so true, especially when you hear the ending. Alice went from being an every week person to a never again volunteer. Friends, the distance from an every week attitude to a never again conclusion is so thin. It doesn't take much. We track to make sure people finish well. The truth is, if you finish well, you might run again. You might get back in a race. But that wasn't the case for the person that I'm calling Alice. She went from being every week to being never again because she wasn't tracked. We track to make sure people are suited to the race. Sometimes we've gone through the task component, making sure that people are appropriately suited for the role. We've trained them well. We've seen the different things that they need, that they are invested in. And yet, whenever it comes to the rubber meeting the road, they just weren't suited to the race. Now, especially when people are conscientious, you might never know, or you might not know until it's too late. We track to make sure people are suited to the race that they are in, and they're not simply grinding it out. We track because sometimes the race ends, but the runners keep going. Now, I've never actually seen this in real life, where the race was over, but people kept running. But I've seen a number of ministries that just kept on going, even when they needed to end. We track to see when the race has ended, even if the runners don't realize it. We track to see if people have been injured along the way. Ministry is tough. Ministry is difficult. And it results in a number of injuries. Sometimes they are self-inflicted, and sometimes they're inflicted by others. But it's tough. And especially, again, if you've got conscientious people, they might want to walk it off. They might want to just push through the pain. We track to see if people have been injured along the way so that they can experience healing. Maybe they need a rest. Maybe they need support. Maybe they need some other kind of change. We track to see if people have been injured along the ministry way. Finally, we track, and this is so important, we track so that people know others are paying attention. One of the worst feelings a person can have is thinking that they are doing work, even work that's important, work that is meaningful, but no one notices. Now, this doesn't mean they need to be platformed. It doesn't mean they need lots of recognition. It just means as the leader, they need to know you are paying attention. We track so that the runners know somebody is paying attention. Which of those 8 reasons resonates with you? To make sure runners are effective, to see if they've shifted lanes, to see that they will finish well, to see that they are suited to the race in case the ministry is over, the race is over, but no one knows, to see if there's a runner who's injured, to see that somebody is paying attention. Which of those resonates with you? The reason I ask the question is because there are reasons that we are reluctant to track. There are reasons that pastors are often reluctant to manage. And it can be so important to hold on to 1 or 2 or 3 reasons that resonate with you to keep you going through this hard work. 3 reasons that we don't manage. 1 is that it's just unfamiliar. We're not always sure what goes into tracking. We're not sure what goes into managing somebody. It's unfamiliar to us. We shy from the work in part because it's hard. It's just flat out hard because there are going to be hard conversations. People who are injured or people who are worn out or people who are discouraged, they have tough things to say that are tough to hear. Finally, we might shy away from tracking. We might shy away from the management work of pastoral ministry because we've had a bad experience. If you had a job through high school, you probably had some kind of bad management experience. Somebody that picked you as their project and wanted to make you just like them, but you knew it wasn't a good fit. Or somebody that it seemed that their way of motivating you was finding everything that you did wrong. Maybe a manager who only showed up whenever they had bad news to deliver and never caught you doing something good. Maybe you've had a bad experience, and so you've been reluctant to pass that along. Here's the truth. If you engage in this difficult work, you will make mistakes along the way. You will be the bad management experience that somebody talks about. But you've got to take the risk to manage. Because if you don't do any management, then you're guaranteeing somebody's got a bad management experience. You take the risk to track well. You take the risk to manage well, because if you don't, you're guaranteeing that everybody has got a bad management experience. So let me give you four steps, four stages, we could say, of tracking your management. And I've adapted these from Richard Osmer's book, Practical Theology, which one of the marks of a great book is that it's adaptable to so many different contexts. But these four steps, these four stages are really beneficial. Number one is observation. Observation. You've got to see what people are doing in the role that they've been given. Observation. And then write it down. Keep track. Track what you're tracking and tell them, especially when they're doing good. Tell them what you've seen done well. Now, you might have specific timeframes in which you're observing. Maybe every 90 days you're trying to find a way to observe a person in ministry, or twice a year. A couple of encouragements. First is start tracking on day one. If a person is a brand new volunteer, make sure you've got some time or somebody that is reporting to you to see how they did, to follow up with them, to see what the day was like, to see what the ministry was like, and track them through to the final day. So that the day after they have quit or they've moved on, you're able to get a sense of what they've seen. People who are on their way out see things differently than people who are just on their way in. And they see things differently than people who are in the midst of it. Track. Observe. What do you see? And get what they have seen as well. Number one is observe. Number two is interpret. Well, what's it mean? Is the person chronically late? That's an observation. Does it mean they've got a bad attitude? Does it mean they're not motivated? Does it mean they've got car problems? Does it mean they've got a busy home? Don't know. If a person is chronically late for a ministry, we don't know what it means. This interpretation piece is so key, because you've got to work through it with the other person. Don't assume that what you have seen is clearly and easily understood. Now, it takes a conversation. Now, here's where it can get so tough, and probably one of the toughest parts of tracking or managing. When your interpretation, which you have formed across observations, doesn't resonate with them, or theirs doesn't resonate with you, and you've just got a significant disagreement about the meaning of what's been seen. This is where your pastoral training and your pastoral heart are so meaningful. Now, there might come a point where, as the leader, you go with your own intuition, you go with your own set of interpretations. But this is also a wonderful place for there to be humility and to be open, to allow for the other person's take on things to be proven right, and to be open to what they are saying to be the real interpretation of what's being observed. Number three, correction. Three things that you might think about in terms of correction. If things are going great, maybe the person needs more resources, right? More opportunities, greater platform, opportunity to teach others. But somebody who's not doing a great job might also be a person who needs more resources. They might need more resources. They might just not have enough. They might not have enough to keep on going, or they might not have enough to excel. Beyond resourcing, you can also think about repositioning. Sometimes what we see in a person's not doing a great job or being ineffective is that they're just in the wrong role. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. Doesn't mean they're not conscientious. Doesn't mean that they're not called to a kind of ministry. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep them engaged in ministry. They might just need to be repositioned. Finally, somebody might need a rest because they've been running the race for a long time. Any one of these can actually be difficult conversations. Sometimes people want to succeed with very little resource. Sometimes giving them more resources is a kind of pressure that they're not quite sure what to do with. Sometimes people will take a repositioning as demotion. They'll take repositioning as something that's inherently negative. They might take a rest as a revealing that they can't do it all, which of course is true. Sometimes whenever we insist on somebody taking a rest, it's very humbling for them. They're used to being all powerful and all capable. Again, difficult conversations, but simply having the security to hear and listen, having the willingness to stick with what you think is the right choice after having had a chance to hear what another has had to say about what you've observed is vital. Now, here's one thing that's really important too. Whenever a change needs to be made, don't feel the responsibility of convincing the other person you're right. They don't need to agree with you. And it's a wonderful gift to let them disagree. It's a wonderful gift to let them disagree. Now, of course, this doesn't mean they can have a disagreeable attitude and carry that forward. But they might not agree with you. They might not see that what you have chosen is the right way. And you don't need to convince them that it is. You don't need to convince her that it is. Finally, apply. Observe, interpret, correct, and finally, apply. Two things this means. Number one, follow through. And number two, follow up. follow through, make sure the plan that was discerned in the correction phase, whether it was to resource, to reposition, or to encourage rest, or something else, is followed through, that it actually gets done, that the person didn't show up to the next ministry, or that somebody else was put in place to give leadership, that you had had a plan in place and that it was followed through. And then finally, follow up. You follow up to see, did the intended effect take place? Were the extra resources beneficial? Was the rest beneficial? How are they doing in the new position? Follow up. Now, you can mark it in your calendar to follow up after maybe a month or 6 weeks, but make sure that it gets done. Make sure that what was decided to be implemented is followed through with and then followed up upon to see its effect. Here's the opportunity to show humility too. It could be that the plan that you helped develop or the choice that you made through the tracking activity just wasn't the right one. Maybe you took a misstep. Maybe you missed it. Maybe your interpretation was wrong. When you follow up and you're getting the feedback that it's not working or it's having some unintended consequences, the outcomes that were intended just aren't coming through, that's okay. Because remember, all of this is going back to seeing people be effective. All of this is going back to seeing people thrive. All this is about good things running wild in the church and wide in the world and deep in the believer. Observe, interpret, correct, apply. Now, let me close up this podcast by just giving you two of the toughest cases. Sticking with the tracking metaphor and the racing work, we're talking about speedsters and stumblers. I get the phrase speedster from The Flash, pop show from CW Network. Speedsters, people who can move really fast, and you've seen them in ministry. People who can move really fast. Sometimes we call them a busy person. There's a phrase that says, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. They are people who excel. They are people who get the job done. They are people who are dependable. Now, sometimes they can also be challenging cases because they want to be treated uniquely. And here's the truth. They can be. Speedsters can be treated uniquely. Doesn't mean that they can be allowed to have character faults. Doesn't mean that they can have unfair activities. Doesn't mean they can treat other people poorly. It just means they might get more resources. They might get a bit more support. They might be left alone a little bit more. Speedsters can be treated uniquely. The fact is, talent is tough to work with. But the only thing worse than having talent on the team is not having talent on the team. Working with speedsters takes a lot of grace. And sometimes it means bringing them into attention so that they see how the whole team is engaged and why ministry is a team activity. But it can also mean giving them some leeway to do what they do well. It might mean giving them some space to accomplish some things on their own. Second difficult situation are stumblers, people who've got the right heart, but their feet just don't match the heart. They stumble. They don't excel. And it might take 2 or 3 or 4 tries for them to find the ministry in which they can excel. But you've got to keep in the back of your mind, in the bottom of your heart, everyone is a 10 in ministry somewhere. Rick Warren says it, and I think he's right. Somewhere, everyone is a 10. Friends, if that is your heart in tracking others, it will shine through. It will be infectious. They will start to have the belief that they will shine in ministry if they just find where it is. Why do you shy away from tracking or management? Because it's hard? Because you've had a bad experience? Because it's unfamiliar? Let me encourage you. Start observing today. Take some time, do an MBWA or management by walking around. Observe, see people in your church, see what they're doing, see what your staff is doing. Start writing it down. Just start the work. See what they're doing well. Catch them doing good. And then tell them. People will let you know how you can manage them well. If they see you seeing them, they'll let you know what they can use or what troubles they're having. Just get started and see what God does. Thanks so much for tuning into this podcast episode. This has been an episode in our series on lay leadership, and I hope it's been valuable. Today we've been talking about tracking, but check out some of the other episodes on casting vision and asking for commitment, developing tasks, and training. Next week we'll finish up with our final episode in this series on thanking. So with that in mind, thanks Connor for being a good producer. Thank you listeners for tuning in. You make podcast episodes like this possible. The Wesley Seminary podcast exists to introduce topics and resources for fruitful ministry, and I trust we've done just that today. If we have, share it around. Let others know about the Wesley Seminary podcast. Share with other people that you're working with. Maybe this can spark a conversation on how you all can be engaged in the tracking work together. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great day.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the name Wesley Seminary.